on page 440. Page 440 with the part, we're in the middle of the Rashis. We are in the middle of the Rashis. Rashi pasik tes vav. Rashi pasik tes katzoin l'shol shatu moves yirem vayirdu vam yishorim laboiker vitzuram levalois shol mizuvuloi. So we already spent a lot of time going through the parish of the mitzvot. Let's just now jump into Rashi. Rashi says here. Rashi says, "Katzoin hamisasif ladir kein heim l'shol." Just like sheep are collected, they're gathered into a deer, into a corral. So too are the wicked people. Are these people? You really think about humanity? Are people who that's people, especially those that are pursuing, have an attitude that the only thing that counts is money. They are also being collected into the grave. Shatu. What does it mean? Which dakshus atov b'mokim, dakshus atov b'mokim tov shniyah. When it says the word shatu, there's a dot in the tov, and this is a general rule in grammar that it's as if it said the tov twice. Sometimes you put a dot in a letter to basically to connote that you should repeat the letter, and therefore in this case it would be lishaol shasisu. Which means, it means to set. They, su means they, and shos means to set. It's like shes, Hashem did not turn, or shes. Shes is Adam's son, right? So Hashem has set, Hashem has appointed, has given me another child. So here as well, really it should be the word shosisu. Shas is the set, and the su is they. They have been set to go into the grave. And because we want to save some ink and not have to say the word shas the su, so we put a dot in the tav, and putting a dot in the word in the sav makes it into a tav. But really what it's doing is it's saying it's ki'ilu, it's repeating the letter tav twice. Hu l'shayin shasayitz Shasasu, period. Lesoich, Lashoin Sheshoiset, El Shaol. They are being set into the pit. Hashem is guarding them and directing them to the pit. Lemadrega Hatachtoina. Okay, it says over here that not only are they being sent to Gehenna, over here Rashi is revealing over here in Tadeli, is that in Gehenna there are many different levels. It's like a hotel. What floor are you on? Okay, you have many different stories. So they're going to the Madrega, Hatachta, and Rechen Shatu, Ba Shamayim Pihem, to set in heaven Pihem, Gamu Lashon Shasois, Kavu Ba Shamayim Pihem, Lashonim Hora. Okay, I'm not sure exactly all the different nuance of what we're trying to say over here. But over here means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is establishing them. Kavu ba'ashamayim pihem l'shoinom hora. He is setting against them their sins of l'shoinom. I'm not sure what this means. I don't know what this means. Let's go further. Moves yireim. Malach ha-moves yirechlem. Over here we have a whole new translation. According to the parish of the Mitzvah, the stuff we learned, the word yireim means to shatter. Rashi obviously is saying something different. He says the moves yireim. Yireim means like the pasture. And in this context, it means the malach ha-moves Yoichleim. The Malach HaMaves is Yireim. Okay, Yireim here means pasture, but I don't know how it means to eat. But the Malach HaMaves will become part of the flock of the Malach HaMaves. The Malach HaMaves will consume them. Yaltisma Lashon Achila Zo. Don't be concerned that the word Yireim is not ordinarily used in reference to eating. And in that context as well, which I'm not familiar with, it also means, it means to eat. It means, okay, I don't know what that means there. Loshon acher, loshon ritzitza, another interpretation, ritzitza means to crush. Kamo hayoroa barzel, and this is what it said in the Mitzudos Tavit. The word yireim means to crush. When we learned the Mitzudos Tav, we mentioned that we quote a pasuk, is that when you blow shofar, teruah, the sound of a teruah means to shatter. There are three sounds we blow the shofar. There's the tekiah, there is the long sound, then there's the shvarim. A shever is a broken sound, but a shever connotes large pieces. And then comes the teruah, which connotes little teeny pieces to shatter. So here it says that this pasuk is that they're like sheep, they're going to go into the grave, they're going to be set into the grave. Maves, death, when they do die, it will shatter their neshamas. Okay, vayirdu bam yisharm labayker, liyom hagula kishayisrach bikram shal yisrael. And on the day when boker, this is also what the Mitzuda said, almost the same thing, that when the boker arrives, boker means gula, then they will be controlled, they will be guided, they will be under the jurisdiction, under the authority of the Yesharim. Yihyu roidim bohem, they will rule over them. Kama shenemar, the pasuk v'asoisem rishayim, you will crush, you will trample. The word v'asoisem means either you will crush, gzuntan, you will trample upon the wicked people. V'tsuram, and their power. Tsur always refers to might, it refers to strength. Like we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Tsuri.
Tsur is a large rock, yes?
So it is a metaphor. We say every day in Shimon Esrei, Hashem Tsuri V'Goali. Hashem is my rock. Hashem is my rock. Okay, and by the Goyim, they always use that expression by, boyfriend, girlfriend, all that type of stuff. He's my rock. It's a metaphor. A rock represents something which is strong. A rock doesn't go. Doimim, the rocks that we have on the ground have been here since the time of
stability.
Maestro Bereshis. Rocks don't go. So you want to talk about stability, very good stability. So you say that Hashem is my stability. There are many things in this world that keep on changing, but one thing never changes. Hashem never changes. Hashem never goes away. Hashem is stable. When we want to go and find comfort in being stable, we turn to Hashem. Hashem never changes. Here, wicked people, they believe firmly that because they have money, there's money in the bank, they have diversified their portfolio, they have stability in this world, and they probably believe in the next world. And then this pasuk says that when they die, death overtakes them, their neshamas are shattered, their stability, their rock, their rock is their money, their wealth is no longer vitzuram, and their rock is then shattered. Levalois sheol, it rots in the grave. Let's see how the Rashi learns more precisely. Vitzuram levalois sheol tsurasam shel rishoim. The tsurasam shel sham tevale es hashol. What does that mean? These are difficult words. Gehenom, gehinoim, kole. Gehenim is kala, veheim enum kalim. Now, one more time. The tsurasam shal risham tevale es shal. Gehinom kala. Gehenim is over. But veheim they enum kalim. They are not destroyed. Now, mizvulo, next words. Mihi yoisoy lohem modar, of having a dwelling place. Meaning, v'yakodesh baruch hu mod sichama min artika. Umilahetes oisam, they will suffer even more. Hashem will burn them. Shenemar, vilihat oisam hayoim haba. Rabbi Seinu Perishu, mizvulo, al shepashtu yideim bazvul, shehechirivu espes hamidash. Now he's saying over here some incredible mystical esoteric concepts. Over here, Rashi is revealing the secrets is that there will come a point in time when Gehenim will go out of business. Okay, Gehenim will go out of business, and everyone, all the neshamas will be released from Gehenim. So what's going to happen now? So we would think, so all the neshamas, they now go to Gan Eden, or they have Menucha. No, after Gehenim is over, then they will still continue to suffer and to burn. Hashem will take out the Chama Min Artika, will take out the sun from its sheath, and the sun will consume these neshamas here. I don't know what this means in this world. Zavul, according to Rashi, in this very esoteric interpretation, refers to Hashem's abode. Hashem's abode includes the Shemayim, which we're referring here is specifically to the sun. The sun will shine down upon them and consume their neshamas, even though Gehenim is no longer operational, because Gehenim's lease has been canceled. It's not been renewed. And then the wicked neshamas are now out loose. they're out on the street. Hashem has other means to finish them off and destroy them and bring upon them the same suffering that one would have in Gehenna. And that's an amazing idea. Because we think, I mean, we're always brought up, and you know, is that all of the neshamas, after a person leaves this world, there's din v'cheshbon, there's gehenim. Okay, we always told that the gehenim is at most 12 months, and after 12 months, the neshama goes free. But there are some people that are so wicked, that are so thoroughly wicked, that after gehenim for them goes on forever. But over here, this pasuk is revealing a secret, that gehenim will not go on forever. There will come a point in time when Hashem will shut down gehenim. What about those neshamas that are so wicked that have no place in existence? Hashem has other means to punish them and bring upon them suffering even when Gehenna is over. And this is a Musar Haskel for us here in this world. Many times we have situations where we get away with something. We get away with it. People get away with something. We're not even talking about the next world. We're talking about this world. People do crimes. And just because they're well connected, and they know all the right phone numbers and know how to pull strings, they're able to get away with things that the ordinary person cannot get away with. Oh, I got away. No such thing. Hashem has other ways, other techniques to hold you accountable for what a person is born of a wolf. Hashem has other techniques to get a person. Okay, and that's an amazing. It's a Musar Haskel. You see different situations in life where people they're trying to get a job, I know such situations. First, try to get a job, and he didn't deserve it, and he just pulled some strings and he got the job. So what? So now he has a wonderful life. It didn't work out for him either. It didn't work out. The whole job, the whole situation was a very unpleasant situation. He would have been a lot better off, who are we to say, but from a simple understanding and perspective, he would have been a lot better off had he just allowed the system to play itself out fairly, without manipulation, and he would have not got the job. And some that was more qualified would have got the job, and they would have done a lot better, and that institution would have really been successful. Who's to say? And the other person, he would have found this place somewhere else. But because of kavod and money and corruption, he pushed his way in unfairly, and it didn't turn out good for him anyway at the end. So we always think to ourselves that we can escape. We just have to know the right people, have the right connections, and we'll be able to escape. This is a Musar Haskel. This pasuk according to Rashi is telling us that even after this world is over, and the neshamas go to Gehenna, and then it plays out. They sit in Gehenna for a long period of time, and now finally Gehenna is over. Gehenna is being shut down. The government has declared it to be a hazard to society, so they shut down Gehenna. But there are neshamas in Gehenna that deserve to suffer. They have brought upon this world enormous pain, agony, and suffering. They don't deserve that they should have menucha. Don't worry. You cannot escape Hashem. Hashem has other means to bring upon a person what he deserves, even outside the framework of Gehenna. I think it's an amazing Rashi. Let's read Rashi one more time. Rashi says, Vitzuram. Levaloi shol. Now again, I told you before the word mitzur. I told you first we started with reviewing what it said in the Mitzudas David. The Mitzudas David understood the word mitzur means their strength, their gevura, their confidence, their stability will rot in the grave. Okay, even they had confidence in their koichi v'oitzim yadi. Now that they have died, they're in the grave. Their neshamas come to the realization that they put their confidence in the wrong things. Rashi is not saying that. Rashi is not translating the word tsuram to mean a tsur, a rock, confidence, stability. Rashi is translating the word tsuram to mean their image, their form, their very existence. Tsuram shel rishoyim tivale es hashol. So it says, v'tsuram levalois sheol. Now, what does that mean? Mizavulo. You have to read the words like we always do, out of order. And out of order means, the zavulo means Hashem's abode. What does Hashem's abode mean in this context? It means the sun. The heat of the sun that is found in Hashem's abode, low. Its rays will be directed towards this neshama, even at the time when the Sheol is no longer, when Gehenim is levalois. Gehenim has ceases to exist.
Hashem translates Sheol as somewhere in between. It's not this earth, and it's not Gehenim either. It's somewhere in
between. Okay.
There's no communication. Because when you say, you know, Yisker, so you're praying, you're saying a tefillah for the dead. They have no communication, and that's what God was doing with Korach. He was putting him someplace where he had no existence. It's like he never existed. That's the word Sheol, is that's why we say by Yosef also, when he says, you know, he says twice by Yosef the word Sheol, Sheola is the same thing. Yaakov with his Nebuah didn't see that Yosef was alive because he was misfalbo with the Tsarist, but he didn't see him Bein HaMesim either. He couldn't understand where Yosef was.
So you're saying another, a different interpretation over here. But the basic interpretation, so far, we learn the mitzvah stuff, we learn the word shol means the grave. The grave. Okay. According to Mal, in the middle. According to Rashi, the word shol means Gehenim. No. Gehenim.
The word Rashi difference is the Tevah is a shol, the grave, or whatever it is going to swallow them up, but Gehenim call it. Gehenim no longer exists. So
right.
They finish your all, and there is no Gehenna. So they're two different things.
Now, I think what he's saying over here is, look, read again. Tsurasam shal hasham tivala es hashal. It will outlive. It will tivala es shal. It's an expression. The grave will cease to exist, but their neshamos are still going. It's an when you put the word tivala es hashal, literally means tivala means to wither away. They will wither away the grave. Some people say a person goes to a doctor, and the doctor says, sorry, buddy, you don't have more than 6 months to live. 20 years later, that person is still alive, and the doctor is long gone. Is long gone. Okay, you hear those stories all the time, right? Don't worry. Well, let's see who will outlive who. Don't go telling me how long I'm going to live. Okay, so same over here. Oh, I'm going into the shul. I'm going into Gehenim. Don't worry. I will outwither you. The purpose of the Sheol is to destroy me. It's that the neshama or the guf should wither away in the grave or in Gehenim. Just the opposite. I will cause the Gehenim to wither away. Meaning I will exist when Gehenim will no longer exist. Yet, guess what? If a person, the neshama, deserves punishment, Hashem has his means, his technique. Look at the words again. Surasam shel rishoim. According to Rashi, the word suram does not mean a rock. It means their form, their very existence of the wicked. Tivale es hashal. It's the balabos. The tsura of this person is in control, and it will cause the grave to the Gehenim to wither. In other words, it's going to still be in existence after Gehenim is no longer. So that means now it's free to go. No. Gehenim kala, Vehen enim kalam. Oh, so very good. No. You're not finished yet. Just because they shut down Gehenim, you cannot escape from the din of Hashem. Mizivul lo. Mihiyoysoy lohem modor. From their dwelling. Okay, let's read a little bit further. Mihiyoysoy lohem modar, from them will be mihiyoysoy. I don't know how to really translate it literally. Let's read a little more. The Hakadosh Baruch Hu
will no longer be a dwelling place for them.
Mihiyoysoy. Okay, saying okay. So then I made a mistake. Then I made a mistake. Very good. Mordechai is saying correct. I made a mistake. And the word mizavulo, I told you before, means that that's the place where the sun is. The sun's going to shine down. That's an error. It means, it's going back on the word Sheol. Sheol mizivulo. For a significant period of time, the grave was the home of this person. When someone would want to send a letter to this neshama, you would address it, Gehenim, level 7, room number 1. Okay, there's an address, a street address in, this is the zip code is, Chvesnish, you have to come up with a good joke what the zip code is. Okay, so there is an address, the zvul, the abode. The zvul literally means an abode, a home. The zvul lo, every single neshama has an address. It happens to be that many neshamas, their address is somewhere in Gehenim. So the Sheol is mizvulo. But you know what's going to happen at one point in time? They're going to be homeless. Livalois Sheol, the grave or Gehenim, will wither away from being able to be for these neshamas a zivulo, for them, from serving for them as a home, as a shelter, even a neshama. So now what's going to happen to this neshama? Oh, wonderful, I'm free. Let me now try my luck. Well, that all depends. See, from what we learned, I told you, I know nothing. I know nothing. I'm just telling you what it says here in the books, and we have to have emunah. We are obligated to have emunah to get some type of balance. Obviously, no one came back to tell us, and these are the gedolim of the gedolim, the rishonim, who are telling us concepts which are very mystical, and it's not necessarily meant for us to understand these things, but they're basic words and terminology that we're supposed to have emunah and believe. And I'm just doing the best that I can to repeat what it says and try to absorb the musr of what it says here. And it seems that there are many different types of situations. There are neshamos that go on forever. And there are neshamos that seem to be destroyed. That's what it seems to say. It seems that these neshamos seem to completely disintegrate and that no longer exist.
What about sometimes
So then there's this principle, again, I'm just saying words, is that Gehenim is, it's you need a zuchus, a merit to go to Gehenim. Gehenim, from what we see more often, is a rehabilitation center. It's not a place of punishment. It's like, you know, today in the industry, a hospital used to be, years ago, a hospital was a place where people go to die. Person gets, they try to help you, they try to heal a person, and if a person, you know, can't be healed, you know, they do the best they can to relieve them from their suffering, and people would die in a hospital. Today there is not one hospital that would allow, if they could, anyone to die in the hospital. It is poison for someone to die. The statistics, the hospitals, it ruins their funding. A hospital is a repair shop. It's a repair shop. You go to the hospital for a procedure or for some type of technique, and if Rahman al-Litzlan, the hospital sees that they cannot help the person anymore, then they either send them home or to a hospice. Hospitals.
Learned that Gehenim is from Rishoyim, suffer based on
Gehenim,
actions here.
Gehenim is a rehabilitation center. That is what we get when the more we learn about Gehenim. It is a place where the neshama goes for rehabilitation. It's a correction facility. It's not a place of punishment.
He's going to be improved, he's going to be corrected.
Yes, yes. The neshama is purified. According to what we read, it's a cleansing process. According to what we learned is that sometimes there can be a neshama that's not yet ready, or it's not deserving of cleansing. It has to go through a period of time of wandering and waiting, reflecting, or maybe actual real suffering, punishment. Like in America today, there's a very big, in the courts, there's an ongoing debate that's been going on since this country has been established, is what is the purpose of a prison? Is the purpose of a prison to punish a criminal? Or is the purpose of a prison to protect society from a criminal? Or is the prison a place of rehabilitation? Three, a chakira. What is Allah Mishachakira? What? Well, that's what they try. That's a debate. That's a debate. To do penance. To do teshuva.
If I may, I would suggest there are different levels, different departments in Gehenna. There's rehabilitation for Yidden who got trapped. They have to purify themselves, and like the glorious Rosh Hashanah is also about it. They come out tweeting, but they're purified and clean. There are other departments, like Pitbull Yishbach Shemo, and all those, where it's mamash, a punishment department.
Right, we don't know how this all works. Right, we don't know how the all different...
rehabbing...
we don't know, because we say the most an neshama can be in Gehenna is 12 months. Why only 12 months?
Forever... this is one example. These guys, Gehenna is going to end, but they're not going to end. They're going to keep getting punishment.
Hashem is going to find right. This appears to be punishment, or maybe you can say is after all the rehab is done, it's not going to help them. They'll be given the opportunity to do rehab, but the damage of their neshamas is so great. Even after Gehenna shuts down, we've done for you everything we can do for you. You're still impossible, and you have to be. You have to. Okay, and Hanami. So we don't know. We don't know the meaning. All of these things are very myth. I'll give you an example. We say.
Like even in the hospital, there were different departments.
Right.
You have the concept that you get down into the 50th level of tumor, you're not coming out of it. There comes a point where there is no correction.
We say every day in davening. Okay, what does this mean? This is the last Tosfos in Masechta, I think in Masechta Menachos.
Tomorrow Rosh Hashanah, it's all about Yud Zayin. Some people, you know, are just going to be there forever and the dust is going to be under their feet.
Right, exactly, stuff. Right.
Other people can come out three days.
What does this mean?
There are different departments, different levels of people.
Okay, what does it say we did every day in Shemoneh Esrei? Ritzei, or here, everybody say. Ritzei, Hashem, Yam Chishol, Visfil, Sam Yosheves, Sam Lidvir, Vashaves, Vavoida. We store, okay, remember yesterday, Vashaves, Vavoida, we store the Avoida. Lidvir Beisecha V'ishei Yisrael. Where in your Siddur is there a dat? This is the Taisus. This is the last Taisus, I believe, in Masechta Menachos. V'yosheves restoring the art scroll, they differentiate between the Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sefarad. In Nusach Ashkenaz, they put the dat after the words V'ishei Yisrael. Restore the Avoda, Lidvir Beisecha, to your holy abode, V'ishei Yisrael, and the fire offerings of the Jewish people. It would appear that according to Nusach Ashkenaz, we pray to Hashem that he should restore the Beis HaMikdash, he should restore the service to the Beis HaMikdash, and restore the fire offerings of the Jewish people, which means to bring korbanos. However, Nusach Svard, generally, they don't say like that. Nusach Svar, they generally put the period after the words V'yosheves V'avodo Lidvir Beisecha, period. Then it says V'ishei Yisrael, we pray to Hashem that the fire offerings today, currently taking place, Usefila Sam Be'ahava Sekabel Beratzayin. Now L'chayra, the correct translation should be according to Nusach Ashkenaz. Because today there are no such thing as fire offerings. No one brings a fire offering today. There are no korbanos today. It's a chiv karis.
That's why Spart says korbanos before davening and Ashkenaz does.
So according to Nusach Ashkenaz, we are praying that Hashem should restore. The words V'ishei Yisrael are going back on the word V'hoshev. We beg Hashem, restore the service to the Dvir, to the sanctuary, and repeat the word, and restore, we ask you, please, restore for us our fire offerings. Please give us the opportunity to bring korbanos. That would be all fine and good if you put the period after the word V'ishei Yisrael. But if you look at Nusach Svart Siddur, you're not going to see that. You're going to see in Nusach Svart Siddur, you're going to see there's a dot after the Dvir Beisecha. And then it's a new statement. And we ask Hashem, today there have been many fire offerings brought to you. And Hashem, those fire offerings, please accept them. The Ishei Yisrael Usafila Sam Be'ahava Sekabel Baratzain. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Do you know who asked this question? Tosfos asked this question. In Masechta Menachos, the last Tosfos. And he says something there that is really part of this very mystical, esoteric, Kabbalistic topic, which we have no understanding of. And he says the words, he says that every single day in Shemayim, you know, backtrack, Avraham was told to bring Yitzchak on the Akedah. Kachno, es bincha, es yichidcha, asher hafta, es Yitzchak, v'haleyu sham le'oila, and bring him up as a carbon oila. Right? Bring him, which Pashup Shah means, offer him as a carbon. So Malach, no, don't stop. Vayikra elav Malach Hashem, al tishlach yad galanar. In the other world, there's no Malach telling people not to do it. In the other world, Tosfos says, every day, the Malach, Michael, he selects amongst the Neshamais. This is a Tosfos. He looks around, and he looks for different neshamas that are in the Olam HaEmes, and he selects different neshamas. A neshama that is the time has come for the neshama. He takes it, he brings it on the Mizbeach in Hashem, and offers that neshama as a fire offering to Hashem. And Hashem has nachas ruach from the offering of the Malach Michael of the neshama on the Mizbeach in Shemayim. Now, do you think I know what I'm saying? No, not punishment. This is an offering to Hashem. Now, what happens to that neshama? Can anyone explain? The neshama is put on the Mizbeach in Shemayim. This is Tosfos. I'm not telling you Zohar. I'm telling you basic stuff here, right? This pshat in the Ritzei, the mamash, the basic pshat in the Nusach HaTfilah. The Malach, I think it's the Malach Michael, takes a neshama. In Shemayim, there's a Yerushalayim Shel Maila, and there's a Mizbeach, and the Malach takes a neshama, and he puts the neshama on the Mizbeach, and the neshama is offered as a sacrifice to Hashem on the Mizbeach.
Goes to a higher level.
Who doesn't say that? You said that. You say that. What does that mean? No one, I don't believe this. Anyone. Oh, the Sar HaGadol is Oymed Olav, and he takes Neshamais. The Neshamais, what are the words? Neshamais, what are the words? Neshamais Shel Tzadikim, and he offers these Neshamais Shel Tzadikim on the Mizbeach in Shemayim. And this is the Pshat Ishei Yisrael. Therefore we ask Hashem. See, I didn't make this up. See, today it was like make a Shachianu. I actually said something I didn't make up. Okay, give me the Gemara. Let me read the Gemara.
But you don't know what you said. Let me read the Gemara.
Always never ever trust a word that I say. It's the last Tosfos. Michael Sar HaGadol. I even got the Malach right. Michael, the Sar HaGadol. I made a makriv of carbon. Midrashos Chalukin Yesh. There are different midrashim. They disagree. You see, that's a very important rule. Not every medrash has to stem with another medrash. The midrashos Chalukin Yesh. Chalukin, period. Yesh misha oimer nishmoseyem shel tzadikim. That the Malach brings there the nishmois of tzadikim. The yesh misha oimer. No, these nishmois, the nishmoseyem shel nishmois. The yesh misha oimer, there are in Shemayim, Rabbi said, there are sheep. There are kivasim shel esh. So is it the neshamas of tzaddikim in Shemayim, or is it animals of fire? V'hainu, this is the pshuto shel mikra, what it's we say in davening every day. The amrinon b'shmoyne esrei ba'avoida, which is the bracha of avoida. We say Hashem Elokeinu b'yamcha Yisrael v'sfilosam v'yoshev es avoida l'dvir beisecha. Period. Now, v'ishei Yisrael, the fire offerings of the Jewish people, usafilosam, okay, the last volume. V'ishe Yisrael, the fire offerings of the Jewish people, usafilo sam mehera be'ahava. So you see, it's nusach svart. See, be'ahava sekabel beratzayin. So then he acknowledges that the Litvaks, they don't like this type of stuff. The yesh oimrim, that's not the pshat in the ritzay, the koe adle'ele. When it says the word v'ishe Yisrael, it's not referring to the neshamos of tzadikim that the malach Michael is offering on the mizbech l'mala, but it's referring to, it's a bakosha. Hashem, please restore the service of the Beis HaMikdash. Please give us here on this world an opportunity to bring korbanos. V'yoshev esavod l'vir beitzecha v'ishe Yisrael. Loi motzasi yoiser. I didn't find more than this on this topic. So here, Taisvis himself acknowledges the two different ways to translate the words v'ishe Yisrael, and that's the chilik between, at least in the art scroll sitter, in the nusach Ashkenaz, they do it like the second pshat. They put the dot at the end. It's going back on v'hoshev. In nusach svart, it's going on. They learn the more kabbalistic approach. And why am I telling you this? Because just to get a little bit of a taste that we really have no understanding of how all of these things work. This Rashi we learn over here is giving us an entirely new insight. And it's telling us over here that HaKadosh Baruch, that there's going to be a point in time there are neshamos that are in Gehenim. What goes on in Gehenim, we have no idea. But there's going to come a point in time where Gehenim is going to come to an end. Gehenim will come to an end. They're going to shut down this center. This center, whether, as Mordechai is saying, it's a punishment center, or whether it's a rehabilitation center, or whether there are many different things that go on there, whatever is going on over there, it's going to be shut down. And there are going to be neshamas that are going to leave. And these neshamas are going to be lost. They're going to be lost. They're not eligible to enter into the Olam, into Gan Eden, into whatever we want to call these things, the Yeshiva Shalmaila. And they are still deserving of punishment for the pain and suffering they've brought upon people and damage they've done to this world. How will they receive their punishment? Guess what? They're not free. You can never, ever escape from Hashem. Hashem will take out the son from its sheath, and the son, Hashem, has an infinite number of tools available to him to bring upon a person what he deserves. And it will shine down upon him, and it will destroy him.
This would have been a good opening for Rashi to tell us that maybe some Hashem is coming back.
You're really going way over my head over here. You've been reading too many books. You probably go to a kollel where they tell you about these books, and you buy your Rigler, you buy her book, and you read about it. You read about Gilgulim. I don't know. Listen, even Meir is really into Rigler. Even he likes that book, right? That was a good book. That was a good book. Some of the stories there. Yocheved Rigler. Yocheved Rigler is a celebrity writer for Klal Yisrael. She wrote many, but she wrote the book you told her, the chicken, Machlis? What? Henny Machlis. Henny Machlis, art school has said that the book, the best seller that they ever published was Henny Machlis, is the biography of Henny Machlis. That's what they claim. I've heard that. Who?
Jay's sister-in-law.
Dershowitz? Yes, I know. Yes, I know. Correct. Thank you for reminding me. I have to call him. So they claim that book was their number one bestseller.
What's so special about the book?
Read it. I never read it. You told me that you could not stop crying after you couldn't even put every page you cried. You told me.
Look in the FJJ.
Henny Machlis. And who was the author? Yocheved Rigler. Okay, so she's art school, it's like Mamish Torah Sinai over here, right? Okay, and she's their author, and she writes, I think, in the Mishpacha, she wrote so many books. Well, she wrote a book that no one would publish, not so long ago, about neshamos that were murdered in the Holocaust, that have come back to this world, reincarnation. Very, very way out stuff, right? No one's going to want to touch this type of book. And she got a lot of haskamas, you should know. There's fascinating things in the beginning, rabbinic literature describing these topics. And it's And it's because she herself suffered from this, from recurring dreams. She herself suffered from these bizarre, reoccurring dreams. She put a post on social media, and she's very well connected, and she got a crazy amount of responses of people that were told her things exactly like what she was going through, these recurring horrible dreams. And she spent a very long period of time researching, interviewing these people, and some of them are the Mamash Rabbanim, all the really good people. And she interviewed them, and she wrote there, she has probably thousands of stories. She only presented 200 stories that she felt are as authentic as they can possibly get. And it's quite a read. It's quite a read. So we don't have no idea what go how all these things work.
What's the name of the book?
I don't have it. I brought it home already.
The author
Rigler, Yocheb Rigler. It's an amazing book. There are some really good stories. The story, there's one story, the Madam story. That story is really good. That was a good story.
The Madam.
You know what a madam is? Madam President. Not exactly. Okay?
Exactly.
Okay? It is quite a book. All right, it's there's something to be said about that book. Even someone like me, you know, it silenced the critics like me when I read that book. In any event, just trying to point out, we have no idea how these things work, and we're not foolish to think. We're just trying to get a little bit of a taste of some of these things. For what purpose? I don't know what purpose. I guess to be inspired. It's not so simple that these are not traditionally, these are not techniques that Chazal, that we grew up, are used to inspire us. These are things that we stay away from. We focus on what goes on in this world with the Emunah Pshuta, the Scharva Einish, the 13 Ani Mamins, and that's it. You don't need to live your whole life with these type of things. However, we're entitled to learn Rashi. We're entitled to learn what it says over here in Rashi on Sefer Tehillim. And Rashi over here is giving us this incredible insight that there's such a thing that Gehenna will come to an end, and there will be Neshamos that still need Tikkun, or still need to be punished more. And Hashem says, you ain't going nowhere. I'm going to get you. And if this is what goes on in the next world, this that goes on in this world also. You think you can get away with something in this world? You can't get away with nothing. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam who keeps Din V'Cheshbon. And that's the Mussar. And the Pasuk of here says, V'tzuram, their image, Levaloi Shaol Mizuvulo. There, even after the Sheol ceased, the Sheol, the Gehenim, which is their home address, even when it's Levalois, it ceases to exist, their Tsuram will be punished, will suffer punishment from, through the words in the beginning of the pasuk of Vayirdu Vam Yesharim. Let's get Rashi. We'll finish up. Vitzuram. And read the words one more time. Vitzuram Levale Shol. Tzura Sam Shel Rishoyim. The form of the wicked. Tivale Es Shol. Guess what? It will outlive Gehenim. Gehinom Kole. Gehenom ceases to exist. But these wicked neshamos vehem. And he explains, Mizivulo Mihi Yoislochem Modor. They no longer have a home. They're homeless in the other world. So better be homeless than be in Gehenna, because in Gehenna it's pretty bad. No. You ain't getting away with nothing. V'yakadosh Baruch Hu Motzi Chama Minar Tika. Hashem takes out the sun from its sheath. Umi lahetes oisam, torches them. Shenemar Malachi, the Lihat Oysam Hashem will ignite them, will torch them. Oysam Hayoim Habo, on that day in the future. V'rabaseinu Perishu, Mizivuloi. Now we have a bit of a drasha. Why are they going to suffer such a horrible punishment? Al Shepashtu Yideim Baz Zivul. The word Zivul also is a code word for the Beis HaMikdash. It's Hashem's abode. Shehech Rivu Es Beis HaMikdash. They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash.
That's also open to interpretation.
Of course.
The actual person is who destroyed, or is those who caused the destruction?
I mean, it's all the same, or whatever. Different levels, fine. Now, it's also interesting to appreciate that everyone knows the famous Gemara that La'asa Lava Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give the Rishon another chance. A famous Gemara, Hashem is going to give the Rishon another chance, and they're going to say, Hashem, you know, give us, we did good things, we built bridges, we did this, we did that. So Hashem says, you did all for yourself, you didn't do L'shem Shemayim. But you know what? I'll give you another chance. You know what? I have a mitzvah kala. It's called sukkah. Sukkah. And you know what? Why don't you go and try to do this one little mitzvah? It's a mitzvah kala. It only costs about $5,000 to buy a nice sukkah. Okay? Buy yourself a nice sukkah. And go into the sukkah and sit in the sukkah. So what's, and it says exactly the same exact pasuk as what is cited there. Hashem will take the sun out of its sheath. And it will be 200 degrees. There's going to be global warming. It's going to be very, very hot. Is that what that alludes to? This Mishigas here? It's going to be very, very hot. So what is the halacha? The halacha is if it's very hot, you're potter. So you're potter. And what do? They walk out of the sukkah and they kick the sukkah. The mevazeh the sukkah. That's a revelation. A revelation of what they really think about the sukkah. Even though they're potter, Hashem did them a favor. You don't have to even do the mitzvah. I'm giving you another mitzvah. And you know what? The mitzvah I'm giving you is I'm going to exempt you because it's too hot. They walk out and they kick the sukkah. And then Hashem, and then they walk out into the street. You know what happens? This pasuk happens to them. They're zapped. Hashem tortures them. So is that part of this? Is this part of the same thing? Like these Rishoyim, it seems almost a parallel. It goes together. What are these Rishoyim doing out in the street? These Rishoyim should be in Gehenna. We're dealing with the end of days, and the Rishoyim, Hashem is judging the Rishoyim, and Hashem is saying, you wicked people, and don't go tell me you did anything good in this world, because everything you did in this world was all for your own benefit, was not, you didn't have me in mind. So you're going to go to Gehenna. But guess what? Hashem's, you know what? I'm going to shut down Gehenna. Gehenna, we're going to close it down. And you know what? I'm going to give you another chance. And they go out into the sukkah, they kick the sukkah, and then they leave the sukkah. Where are they going to go now? There's no more sukkah. There's no Gehenna. And there's no sukkah. So you know what Hashem does? He takes the sun out of its sheath and he burns them. You can't escape Hashem. Even when they got their last chance. It has to be that these two Gemaras, this is what we're reading Rashi over here, to some small degree, it parallels that Gemara there as well. All right, let's try to finish up a little some over here. Next Rashi on page 442. Ach Elokim yifte nafshi avol ani shehi teisi limoshal ozni. I, the composer of this mizma, whether it's David or whether it's the Bnei Karach, I have taken the musar, I've bent my ear to pay close attention to the musar of this mizmar and not pursue wealth. Elokim yifte nafshi shlo elech el shol. Hashem will redeem my neshama. I will not go into the grave. Ki yikocheni b'chayai lelechetz b'drachav. He will take me in my lifetime to go in his ways. So what does that mean exactly? It means I'm not going to die? In this context, is Rashi. I know there are many perushim. There's the Targum. Many perushim. But over here, it seems, according to Rashi, is that a person will live, actually live in this world. Hashem will prevent him from dying. He will live. Next.
Why can't you just prevent me from going to the
show?
Meaning I'm
going to
not go to
Gehenna. Ki yikocheni b'chayai. Okay, because since in my lifetime... Okay,
you do good, so I won't end up.
So after life is over, I'm not going to go into the grave. But no, there's also something you always see this in these... And I was a kid, I used to read these books a lot, these type of books. There's a certain theme which always comes out, and it's in the Gemara as well. Even a neshama that does not deserve Gehenna, it says it has to still walk through Gehenna. You got to see what's going on there. just going to see what's going on there, that itself is an experience. Go to a Holocaust memorial exam. Right? You go to Yad Vashem. You go to a good place, you know, they get you into it. Just going to see what's going on there, that's an experience. And they have all these different stories about, like, you know, tzaddikim, they did nothing wrong. I remember this story, I don't know why it always reverberates in my mind. There was a tzaddik, I think the Megala Amukos, something with the Megala Amukos. A person, he did nothing wrong his entire life. They had in Shemayim a din v'cheshbon. The only thing they got him on was, listen to this mayor. The only thing they got him on is one day he came home, he was an oni ve'evyo in his entire life, but lived with emunah pshuta. Came home and he had pita bread, and he had porridge, some mashu porridge. He took the pita bread and he scraped it after he ate this porridge. He scraped it around the inside of the bowl in order to get a little more, he was starving, and he ate it. So they played back that scene on the big television in Shemayim, and they said, it's a Bal Taiva. A Bal Taiva. A person on your Madrega should not have last drop. On your Madrega, you shouldn't, even though you're starving, you're a skeleton, a person on your Madrega should not have squeezed the pita bread against the edge of the bowl to schap that last moisture.
You don't add the piece of what should you do with it?
Just eat the pita bread. Eat the pita bread and don't scrape it, don't squeeze it along the inside of the bowl to get that last moisture.
There is a concern in the halacha using food to clean up.
He's not cleaning up, he's eating it. Eating it. And they said, you are a baal. There's no complaint of bizu oichel. The complaint was, you're a baal taiva. You're a baal taiva. And you, on your exalted level of spirituality, how could you go be so grub? A baal taiva. And the punishment was, it was the only thing they can get him on. So the punishment was, you have to walk through Gehenim. So you gotta walk through Gehenim. There's the door, you come in this door, and you go out that door. Walking through Gehenim will straighten you out. That will be the rehabilitation. Okay, now, there's more to the story that I don't remember.
It's sort of like it mirrors the last plot in Gehenim. It says three types of people. They find a fly in there. They get disgusted and they throw out the bowl of porridge. Then there's those that throw out the fly, and then there's the person who licks the cereal off the fly.
What about the people who eat the fly also? So this idea, you have this idea in all the Kabbalah Sarm, is just walk through Gehenim. This principle. So over here, it says over here, look what it says over here in this Rashi. Rashi is Avalanishi Tasi Lamosh Losni Alokim Yiftinavshi Shloy Eilech. I will not have to go. It doesn't say to burn in Gehenim. It means Shloy Eilech El Shaol Kikhen Bechayel Kik. Why? Because I was a good person in this world. Pasuk Yitas Ki Navsha Bechayev Yivarech Rosha. Mivarech Es Navsha Bechayev. The wicked man in his lifetime, he blesses his neshama. The Oman, he says Shalom Olaich Navshi. Greetings, my neshama. Yes, it's all good. Loy yunech shumr od. Nothing evil will happen to you, my neshama. Aval achedim ein oimim molav kain. But he's the only one. That's exactly the same thing. The only one that says that to his neshama is he himself. When we learn the mitzudah says something very similar. That a person, he lavishes upon himself praise. He praises himself. He praises himself, but he's the only one that praises himself. Other people don't praise him. V'yoducha ki seitiv loch v'ata im tishma lidvorai. If you're a tzaddik, hakol yoducha. It will not be you who praise yourself. The best thing is the yahalolcha. Isn't this also what he says in the pasuk? Yahalolcha zor v'loy picha. There's a famous pasuk. Never praise yourself. Don't ever toot your own horn. Let other people praise you. And if no one wants to praise you, sonu, yehalol chazor v'loy picha. Let others praise you and not your own mouth. But you know what all the darshanim say. Yehalol chazor. Let other people praise you. V'loy. And if no one is doing it, v'loy, then picha. Then you got to do it yourself. Okay? Yehalol chazor v'loy. No one wants, then I'll let people know how great I am. That's not what it says. Yalol chazar v'loy picha, and that's what's over here. Then I'll call you, duchaki, say to the nafshcha, liyeshar, making ways good, liyeshar, es dar, kichol your ways. Pasuk chav, next pasuk is tovi ador avo yisav, kishet hashlim yomecha. When a person, now he over here, we have a new interpretation of what it means over here, the words over here, avo yisav. No, that's fine. Tavoy ala dora voisov, kishetashlim yomech, when a person's life is over, with samus, tavoy he will go, visire es dor horishoim, avoisov shel rosho, nidoinim begehenim, av asher adnetzach lo yiru or. It's a very spooky pasuk. The pasuk according to the Rashi is that when a person leaves this world, this wicked person, when he leaves this world, he's going to go and he's going to see all of the wicked people together with him. All of the ancestors,
he sees, exactly.
Adam bikar lo yavin, derech chachayim nisuna lefonav shem yelech baharehu nichbad, ve'enoy meivin esatoyv. A person is a bikar. Now it seems over here the word bikar is a fool. Okay, there's another, and we translate the word bikar to mean, in the Mitsuda is to mean, it means wealth. Miloshon yokar. And when we learned the Mitsuda, it was a very, very difficult interpretation. A person, you have to read the words backwards, that's lo yavin bikar. A person that does not understand that his wealth is not the only thing that's important in this world. He's nimshal kabehemos nidmu. He's like an animal. That's pretty much what we learned in the Mitzudas David. Rashi seems to disagree. He seems to translate the word bikar mean a fool. Adam bikar v'lo yavin. Every man is an idiot, and he just doesn't get it. Every person has in them a little iota, a little mashuhu, a foolishness. Ein adam tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh toy v'lo yecheta. Chait comes from Ein Adam Chayte Ele Imke Nichnas Boy Ruach Shtus. The only reason why a person would do an Aveiro if he's a Shoyte. It's a fair Shechazal. Ein Adam Chayte Ele Imke Nichnas Boy Ruach Shtus. And there is no person in this world that does not do a Chait. Ein Tzadik Boaretz Asher Yaseh Toy Velo Yecheta. So put A and B together. And what does it equal? It equals every single living person in this world has a shtickel, shtus, is a fool, is a shaita. Every person, and that pasuk, it's what it says here in this pasuk, adam bikar, man is a shaita. The word bikar, we have to find the etymology of the word bikar, v'lo yavin, just doesn't get it. He does not get it that the message of this mizmar. It's a very frightening thing to say when you go to Beis Ovel. It's the last thing you say before they say the Kaddish. You're basically saying is the person who died was a fool. That's not a nice way to be Menachem Ovel. People, okay?
I think it's all Musa to ourselves.
Right.
Yeah.
See, this person is dead. This whole Mizmar is
Avada. I say you go. This the Mizmar we said it. You go to a Beis Ovel. A Beis Ovel is a opportunity. You go to a Beis Ovel.
Some of the stupidest things are said in the Beis
Ovel. Absolutely, but going to a Beis Ovel is an experience. It's a musr. You know, in yeshiva, they used to have a 10 minute musr seder. 10 minute musr seder. They used to say it's just a moment of silence in memory of Rabbi Shol Salanter. That's all it was, because until people came and they sat down, they used to have shir, and then after shir was over, it was mincha. In between mincha and the shir being over, so he was supposed to learn, everyone quiet, come learn musr for 10 minutes. By the time everyone came in, You know, it was already almost time to have a mincha. And how much could you learn already in 10 minutes? Open up the sefer for 2 minutes. So basically, and it's always very quiet during that seder. This is just a moment of silence in memory of Rabbi Shaul Salanter. But you know something, it's not so bad. It's not so bad to have a moment of silence in memory of Rabbi Shaul Salanter to think about Musar. Going to a Beis Avel is a humbling experience. You're coming face to face with death. I mean, that's what it is. You go to a funeral, what? Whatever you want to learn. Whatever you want to learn. Okay, whatever you want to learn.
But you see,
in Chofetz
Chaim, they did it 15 minutes.
Oh, that explains everything. That explains. Derech HaChaim Nesirin Lufanav Shem Yelech Baharei Unichbad Ve'enoi Maven Adam Bikar. How is he attached to the word Bikar? He's saying the Adam Bikar. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. Maybe the Nodim Mefarish that said that said that. He seems to say Rashi Derech HaChaim Nesuna Lufanav. Bikar l'chara means precious. According to the Mitzudas, the preciousness here refers to money. And it's a code word. A person does, bikar lo yavin, does not understand that money, what is precious in this world, is not really so important. Man will never really fully comprehend that. Rashi doesn't seem to say that. Rashi seems, adam bikar, man is given life. He is given an opportunity to live. An opportunity to experience the most precious thing possible, life. Life is bikar, is precious. But unfortunately, v'lo yavin, man fails to appreciate the value of life and to take advantage and to use it for the right things. And on that, and when that happens, when he fails, nimshul kibemus nidmu. Unfortunately, he turns into what we call an animal. All right, the Mishnah tomorrow, we're going to do selective Mefarshim on this Mizmor, maybe one or 2 days. I'll do maybe selective Mefarshim. I really wish to do the Targum, because the Targum has a whole different Mahalach.
You want to do the whole
Targum?
Yeah.
All right, we'll see. We'll see, because I really want to move on. I'm not preparing enough. That's why I'm going too slow. If I prepare more, I'll be able to go quicker. So Mishnah tomorrow, we'll pick up. Take a short break. We'll talk about some of the inyonim on this parasha. A few interesting things about the parasha. We'll see halacha inyonim. All right.